Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
That's the truth. Let's do some winning today. While the sun is shining, let's do some winning, educating and enlightening ourselves. Good morning. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here this morning.
Yes, good morning, Anna Lee. It is a great day to be alive, I have to say.
It is. You know, they're talking about possibly some rain today, but after all the beautiful weather we've had, it's like, well, okay,
exactly.
It's all right.
That's
you know, we have a little bit of rain, and Mike loves it because it waters everything that he grows. So,
exactly.
I like to keep Mr. Mike happy because he's a nice man.
Yes, he totally is. And we do need if without the rain, there would be no flowers and grass for us to walk on. So we need it. It just keeps us alive.
We need it.
Water
keep us alive. Keep the trees green. So don't complain about it. Want to welcome everybody to Winning with Mainstay. I'm Anna Lee Leonard, the founder of Mainstay Financial Group. And maybe in a little bit, Bob is going to get to join us. He's working with a couple of our clients who needed some help this morning. So we'll see if he gets to join us. If he doesn't, it's going to be up to we girls to carry
That's
this
right.
on, my dear.
We'll close off Women's History Month the proper way then.
You got it. Well, you know, for so many years I did this show by myself. I would have guests on, but it was always my show. And so doing it alone is no big thing for me. So I want to remind you right at the top, if you have a question, you want to make a comment, call us or text us at 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. It does not necessarily have to be a topic we are on today. If you got a question about it, let me know. If I don't know an answer, I will find an answer and I'll get it back to you next week. You know, after 30-something years of doing this profession, I know a lot. There's a lot up there in my head, but I'm not going to be audacious enough to say I know everything. No, I do not. Okay. And I may have forgotten some things. So if I need to get you an answer, I will. But I want to give you big news that has come out. This was just announced this past week, actually, that we now remember when we talked about you could get a tax extension in your IRA deduction, that we had said the IRA contribution deadline had not been extended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has been.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So the IRA, if you did not make an IRA contribution, and I mean, this is hot off the press, people. This was announced yesterday, March 29th. Okay, now you don't think I'm hot on the news for you?
There you go.
March 29th, IRS released what they call Notice 2021-21, officially extending the deadline for an IRA contribution for 2020 to May 17th of 2021. So if you didn't make a contribution for last year, you still have time to do one for last year and go ahead and do the one for this year. Now, this includes IRAs, Roth IRAs, HSAs, what are called the Archer Medical Savings Accounts, and the Coverdell Education Savings Accounts. So, please be aware of that. Now, be very, very careful. If you're making a contribution for last year, that down on the bottom of the check on that four line, you write IRA contribution or Roth contribution, whatever it is you're doing, for 2020. Then if you do a second one, in fact, we've got clients doing that right now. If you do a second one that's for 2021, you write in the bottom of the check, IRA, Roth, whatever it is you're doing, contribution for 2021. Please don't ever, ever send in a check without that. Don't ever send in a check without an account number on it. So any of our clients, when you come in here and you do a contribution, we always check, make sure the account number is on the check and the year that the contribution is on the check. That is not the responsibility of the IRS to figure that out. Okay, so just so we know. So as of yesterday, IRS released notice 2021-21, officially extending the deadline to May 17th of 2021 for making IRA contributions for the year 2020. It does not mean you can double up. If you already made one for 2020, that's done. If you didn't, you still have time. I personally think that it's very good news because, you know, a lot of people, because of COVID last year, they were afraid to put money away because they thought they might need that money. Now that we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel and more people are going back to work and doing things, people are starting to say, wow, I should have made a contribution for last year. Well, you still can. Okay? If you have a question on that, call me or text me, 437-1620. If you want to make an appointment to do your IRA contribution, call me at 437-3127, and we'll get that going for you. Okay? Now, isn't that good news to start the show off
yes,
with?
Yes, that's awesome. I love good news. Hopefully we keep that rolling.
Well, we will. We will. Wanted to kind of, while I'm on IRAs, cover a couple of different things, because there are huge misconceptions out there about IRAs, contributions, what's called a backdoor Roth. People are just, and they're being given, and this scares the daylight out of me, they are being given incorrect information by people who are supposedly managing their money. Again, my clients who are here today, he's one of the people, he's fortunate enough, he makes too much money. I don't understand that terminology, too much money. I don't think there could be too much money. that's a foreign concept to me. But the government sets up a rule and they say, you know, if you make X amount of money, then you're not allowed to contribute to a traditional IRA and get a tax break on it. Well, people say, then why do I want to put that money in there when I'm not going to get a break and later I'm going to have to pay taxes on it anyway? So here's what you do, and this is perfectly legal. It was, again, this past year certified that this is a legal process to do. If there's one thing I will not do for you, it's anything that is not within the legal parameters, okay? So please understand that. But let's say you do make that magic number of what they call too much to claim a deduction. So that depends on whether you're married or single as to where that tax number breaks off. You can legally do what is called a backdoor Roth. Now, I didn't say a Roth conversion, totally different, a backdoor Roth. Now, what you do with the backdoor Roth, we open an IRA account that is more or less a conduit. That's all that account is, okay? It's a conduit. It's an account that you're going to put money in and you're going to immediately move money out. But this is what keeps it legal. So if you make what the IRS calls too much money to be able to put into an IRA and deduct it, we put it into this conduit, traditional IRA. As soon as it hits, it is converted over to a Roth IRA. Now, you don't get a tax break for putting it in there. So when you take it out, you don't have to pay taxes on what comes out. and now it sits in the Roth account and will continue to grow tax-free for the rest of your life. And if you're the age of some people on this radio show, that gives you a lot of time for that Roth to grow. And I'm not speaking of myself, understand? That gives you a lot of time for that Roth to grow. And that's a great thing because that's tax-free money that is growing. Now, the other thing that's very good about everything that's going on, you could do this for your spouse, whether your spouse is working or not. Just like you can do a spousal contribution for your spouse to a regular IRA, you can do a spousal contribution to a Roth for the backdoor IRA. Does all this make sense? Am I making sense? Am I being plain enough?
Yes, I'm following along and I'm taking notes. So
good. Because this is a very, very good thing. Now, you know, the IRS also this past year in 2020, they extended how long we can contribute to either a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, all of those things. Used to be, once you hit 70 and a half and you started taking required minimum distributions, you could no longer contribute to an IRA. If you were employed, you could contribute to the employer's 401, but you could not contribute to your private IRA. Well, as of 2020, that was changed. So as long as you have a JOB, okay, earned income, and in, this is where tax laws get confusing because people say, well, Emily, I have a pension. The IRS considers that earned income. For income tax purposes, it's considered earned income, but for the eligibility of contribution to an IRA, it is not, okay? So to contribute to an IRA, you must have a JOB, okay? You gotta have a job. You gotta have a paycheck coming in. So let's say you hit the age of 70 and a half before 2020, you had started taking contributions out of your IRA. You couldn't recontribute. Well, now, since 2020, IRS is saying, no, if you've got a job, you can recontribute money to that IRS, to that IRA. So it gives us that ability to keep building, either get the benefit of tax deferral or get the benefit of tax-free growth for a longer amount of time. Now, what you cannot do is put the max into two different accounts. In other words, you can't put the max in a traditional IRA while putting the max in a Roth IRA. You got to do one or the other, okay? So just don't ever get those two confused, because then they come back and say you over-contributed. They make you take the money out and they fine you 6% for an over-contribution.
Oh, no.
Okay. So that's the important thing to remember with the government, is that if you break the parameters they set up, they don't just say, oh, no, that's not nice. You cannot do that. They say, no, that's not nice. You cannot do that. Now, this is how much money you owe me.
Right.
Okay. So it's followed up with that fine always. So this is why it's so important for you to work with people who know IRA rules, who work with tax people, professional tax people on a consistent basis to get the correct answers for you. You know, the reason I know this morning, and it was just announced yesterday, I'm an Ed Slott Master Elite Advisor. I'm the only Master Elite in 250-mile radius. So what did I get yesterday? I got my newsletter for April. And guess what it's saying? I got a private announcement from Mr. Slott this morning, a recording of him saying, in case you missed this, this is now happening. You see? So we want to keep you up to date on what's going on. So the backdoor is legal. The contributions, as long as you have a JOB, are legal. The backdoor Roths are legal. The conversions are legal. All of those things are good things. Just make sure you have guidance before you do them. Make sense?
Yes. Awesome. Okay. So now when you're saying that you can't, so you're saying you can't put, you can't contribute to both accounts. You have to choose one or the other, or it will be considered a over contribution.
Well, you can contribute to both. Oh, let's okay. say you wanted to do $3,000 to a traditional to get a tax break,
right.
and the other $3,000 to a Roth. Mm-hmm. You could do that.
Okay.
What you cannot do is put six in each for the same year.
Oh, okay.
You see, as long as you stay below the maximum number or right at the maximum number the IRS has given us, then you can do whatever you want. Okay, now the younger you are, the more profitable it would be for you in the long run to do the Roth. That's just pure math. I mean, because figure out the Roth. All right, let's say you do a $6,000 Roth, and let's just take a number, okay? And let's say you're in the 20% tax bracket. So that year, you get to write off $1,200 off your taxes. And people get so excited about that. They're like, oh, I got to write $1,200 off my taxes. Well, that may be a good thing. But let's take that same $6,000 and let's say you've got 20 years for that to grow for you. And let's just say all you make on it is 5% interest, okay? That $6,000 would have turned into $15,919 that is tax free. Did you hear what I just
yes.
said?
Yes.
Okay. So let's suppose you put that money in, you got the $1,200 tax break, you got the same money that grows, that same $6,000 grows. It's a traditional IRA. Now that full $15,919 is a taxable event. So let's say you're still in the 20% tax bracket. You're going to pay $3,183.96 a tax. Where did you come out ahead? With the Roth.
Okay.
So, see, I can run figures for you all day long on this.
Okay. So you pretty much, but it all doesn't always pay off that way. Is that true?
Well, it depends on your age. I mean, if you're 65 and you're just starting to put in a Roth,
yeah.
you won't get as big of a tax break unless you plan on leaving that money there for a number of years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just like when you do a Roth conversion. If you move from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA and you convert that money, you're going to pay taxes on it.
Right.
Now, if you go dip into that money too soon, probably the conversion didn't do you much good because you didn't give yourself time to make up the tax money that you spent to move it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So if you're looking at leaving money tax-free for your spouse or your heirs, it doesn't matter to you if you convert money over. Great thing to do, you know, because a lot of my clients now, they have very, very successful children, doctors, attorneys, engineers, you know, I mean, you name it, they've got these mega bucks types of jobs. So if you pay the taxes now, and most of us in retirement get into a little bit lower tax bracket than the doctors and the engineers and those people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it might make sense for you to pay the tax now and leave money tax-free for the heirs, you see?
Right.
Or you pay the tax and the kids give you gift money to put back into your pocket what you paid for taxes, because we gift to anyone that we want to do that to.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget that. That's another little approach. So the more I talk about this, I think the more important you can see that it is to work with an individual who understands the rules. Okay.
Right.
So here's another problem we're running into. And I hate to even talk about this, but it's become a big thing. The rules of divorce finally have started slowing down a little bit. Now, whether that be because of COVID and people figuring out I better stick with this person because I can't go out and date another one anyway, or I don't know, okay? But divorce did slow down over this past year, and I'm glad to say
Maybe it's
that.
because the courts were closed. Let's just put it.
Well, that
I'm
could, you know, that's probably you're right.
just teasing. I'm
No,
just
but
teasing.
that's true. That's true. I bet you're right. I
Yep.
bet you're right. Yeah, it's kind of hard to get a divorce if you can't go
I
to
mean,
court, you
or
know?
people just saw that, you know what? It's pretty expensive to do that these days. So
Oh, no
we
kidding.
need to buy toilet paper instead.
Yeah, we can't afford to split this into two houses. We got to keep everything in one and
All
hoard
the
it, you
toilet
know?
paper needs to stay here.
Stay in one house. Yeah, I could see him trying to divide that. No, you're not getting it. I'm getting it.
Cutthroat right there.
I mean, that could be really bad. But gray divorce has grown, and that pretty well explains itself what it means. Gray divorce,
Yeah.
some people call it silver splitter, others call it diamond divorce. These are people who have been married for a number of years. And I mean, I've had people come in here and it breaks my heart. I sit and I cry with them, who come in and they're 65. 68 years old, they've been married 50 years and they're getting a divorce. I mean,
Wow.
that's like, did somebody go insane or
Yeah.
what? You know,
Right.
you've lived with somebody that many years, you figure, come on. But you know what part of it is, it used to be, and we've talked about this before, the increase of longevity that we have now. People used to divorce and figure, oh, well, 4 or 5 years, we're going to die anyway, so we might as well stick with this person. Well, now people are getting to retirement and they're saying, man, I could have 15, 20 years. I want to go out and have a good time. I don't want to be with this person anymore. And we find people leaving each other. But one of the things that has caused somewhat of a quandary has been how do you split a Roth IRA? We know what to do with traditional IRAs. We have very, very clear legal guidelines on that. We know what to do with 401ks, very clear legal guidelines on that. We know what to do with a regular savings account. Very clear legal guidelines on that. But guess what the government never did? They never gave guidelines for a Roth during a divorce. So, what has been done over the years, they have treated the Roth in case of a divorce just as they would if the owner passed away and the spouse inherited the Roth. So we're splitting it, both get their sides tax-free, continues tax-free, and it continues as a Roth. But you still have to get a court order to do that. If it's a 401k, you have to get what's called a quadro. That's a big legal name. That means you can take a 401k and split it without triggering a taxable event. If it's an IRA or Roth, you have got to have a court order to do that. You can't just come to me and say, oh, Annalee, play splitsies on this. I can't legally do that unless I've got that court thing in my hand.
Right.
Okay. And that has to be sent, copy of that has to be sent to the custodian. So just to give you an idea that IRAs have, they've changed. They March 17th, we got an extension on our contribution for 2020. We can look at that, the Secure Act, what it's done to that 70 and a half, stretching required minimum distributions to 72, allowing you, even after you're taking an IRA contribution, to contribute as long as you have earned income, a JOB, okay?
Yeah.
Maximize those IRAs as quickly as you possibly can, as young as you possibly can. And if you go over that income threshold, come talk to us about the backdoor IRA. Perfectly legal. We can do spousal contributions, whether the spouse is working or not. Let's go find out what's happening in the world. I hope there's some good things going on.
Yes. Let's say good morning to Mark Jacobs in the newsroom.
Good morning. We're going to tell you about Escambia County's new corrections facility. It's finished. They've cut the ribbon. The story after Fox.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. More witness testimony in the murder trial of former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin, accused in the killing of George Floyd. Donald Williams is a wrestler.
I believe I witnessed a murder.
He said that he was using strong language against police because the officers were not showing feeling as Floyd was pinned down. Williams testified that as a martial artist, he immediately identified the neck restraint Derek Chauvin was using as potentially deadly.
Fox's Matt Finn. An actor, Armie Hammer, loses another project.
Hammer was set to star in Billion Dollar Spy opposite Mads Mikkelsen. This is the third project the actor has lost following the romantic comedy Shotgun Wedding with Jennifer Lopez and The Offer. Both were pulled off his plate soon after a woman identified as Effie accused Hammer of rape and other acts of sexual violence.
Fox's Michelle Polino. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 71, mostly cloudy. Good morning, I'm Mark Jacobs. The new Escambia County Correctional Facility is complete. Local officials joining together for a ribbon cutting on Pace Boulevard yesterday. Among them, Escambia County Commissioner Lumen May, who says it's part of the largest public works project in county history.
Hopefully building a community center, a micro business incubator, and opportunity where we'll have a community center where deputies and correction officers can come and work out, but they can mentor and they can work with the children and the youth.
The first inmates should be moving into the new facility within the next few weeks. It's a $142 million facility. Area high schools moving forward with their plans for graduation ceremonies this spring. Both Escambia and Santa Rosa County School District scheduling graduations for early June. Many set to happen at the Pensacola Bay Center. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Temperatures will be warming quickly today, 74 degrees for that high. Chance of showers is possible this morning. Overall, a 30% chance of rain throughout the day, otherwise mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will be dropping, but not quite as cold as what we saw last night, 67 degrees for that low. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
71 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze. It's 75 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Stocks are lower. The Dow Industrials down 72 at 33,098. The NASDAQ's down 18. The S&P 500 off 10. 13. House Democrats are urging the Postal Service's governing board to halt implementation of a contract that could be worth $6 billion to build up to 165,000 next-generation delivery vehicles. In February, the USPS awarded a contract to Oshkosh Corporation to build a mix of gasoline-powered and electric vehicles instead of choosing Workhouse Group Incorporated to build an all-electric fleet. The lawmakers say the decision was in defiance of an executive order issued by President Biden to electrify the federal government's vehicle fleet. Swedish automaker Volvo Cars is increasing paid parental leave for employees globally to 24 weeks, regardless of gender. Employees who have been with the automaker for at least 1 year will be paid 80% of their base pay. Again, on Wall Street, the Dow down 74. That's Your Money Now.
Business owners, when I say digital marketing, what comes to mind? Are you instantly overwhelmed? Don't be. Hey, I'm Callie Scully, Digital Sales Director for ADX Digital, and I totally get the overwhelm, but I'm here to help. It's easy to get overwhelmed as a business owner. You're constantly pulled in every direction. When it comes to marketing, you need somebody you can trust. A partner, one that's here locally, that knows your business, knows your market, knows how to create successful marketing campaigns that drive traffic and produce results. Your marketing partnership begins here. Make today the last day you feel overwhelmed. ADX Digital is proud to be a sister company to your local favorite radio stations, including Cat Country, News Radio, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. At ADX Digital, we'll work with you and your team to create a customized digital marketing partnership tailored exactly to your business to achieve your goals. Don't waste another day. Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
Take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Yeah.
Love it. You know, every time we play that song, I feel the Cajun come out in me. Like, you gotta get up and dance, baby. You just gotta dance when you hear that. It's, oh my goodness.
That's a pre-workout song. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it gets you revved. And that's what we always try to do. You know, welcome back to Winning with Mainstay and Anna Lee. And Bob is joining us for the second half. Hello, Mr. Bob.
Hello. How's everybody doing this morning?
Well, we're good. We missed you the first half. We've done a lot of talking about IRAs, you know, and the new rule that came out as of yesterday that we now, if we missed an IRA contribution in 2020, that deadline has been extended to the tax deadline of March 29th for the year 2021 to be able to make a contribution for, as Barbara Walters would say, 2020. Okay, so you got a question, you want to make a comment, call us at Texas at 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. We were also, Bob, talking about some of the mistakes that people make with IRAs. And you know, so many people say, oh, man, I'm too late. Well, come on.
Yeah, you know, it's not too late. Yeah, unlike the conversions, you can make a contribution into the following year for the year prior. You can't go till the end of the year. You can't go halfway through the year, but you can make a contribution in most years, Annalee, up until the tax filing date.
Right. But, you know, since they had extended it for so long this year, they didn't come out and officially say. In fact, in the beginning, they said nay, nay. And then yesterday, March 29th, they released Notice 2021-21, which officially extends the deadline to May 17th, 2020. And that's what you always want to wait for, is that official extension that has an IRS release notice. It has its own number. Don't take anything as a maybe prior to. And that's why we never came out and said, yes, you could do it, because they had not yet done that. So it's not too late. Other thing people say is I'm too old. Well, that's what we were talking about before break. It's no, you might not get as big of a tax break if you do something as you're older, especially if you're doing a Roth contribution. But I don't think, as long as the laws allow you to put that money aside and have it there earning either tax deferred or tax free income, it's worth putting it aside. That's what I think. I mean, I've never told anybody they're too old. Have you, Bob?
No, never. It is never.
No.
You're never too old, and it's never too late.
Yeah. And again, remember, if you have a spouse and you don't have earned income, but the spouse does, you can do a spousal contribution that is perfectly legal, either for a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, or the backdoor IRA.
Right.
The backdoor Roth is still perfectly permissible to do as a spousal contribution. Other one, of course, we hear, I can't afford to contribute. We heard that a lot last year. You know, well, I'd like to do that. I can't afford to. Well, now you got a second chance. You might be going back to work. Workforce might be gearing back up again. You may have gotten another job that pays a bit more money. Make sure you do that contribution for last year. Income too high? You got the back door. So... And what about when people have a retirement plan at work, Bob? Can't they still do an IRA?
If you have a plan at work that you are contributing to, you know, I would, you know, let's kind of attack that from a different direction. If you have a qualified plan at work, I think what you really want to do is make sure that you are making your contributions up to the point that you have a matching contribution by your employer at least. Now, if your employer is not making a matching contribution, you know, you may want to weigh the differences in the plan versus your own IRA or what have you. But you certainly want to take advantage of the matching contributions offered.
But it doesn't prohibit you from contributing to your own IRA. Even though you have a plan, you can contribute to both. And what we usually tell our clients is if you have 401, yes, contribute up to the max, but the rest of the money contribute to your own IRA because you have more control over that. It's a lot easier if you want to do a Roth conversion. It's a lot easier if you want to do the backdoor Roth. I mean, even if you make too much money, and again, there's that phrase, too much money. You know, if and you're not supposed to be able to contribute, then we can do the backdoor Roth, one for you and one for your spouse. So one does not eliminate the other. And one of the things I find too often is people will put everything into the 401k simply because it's easy for them to do. But in doing so, they give up all control. They give up awareness because I can't tell you how many people come in to see us that have a 401k. They've had it for 20 years, 30 years. They never look at it. They don't even understand what they're in. And they're still in the same portfolio risk they were in as 20 years old. Not good.
Exactly.
Okay. Not good.
It's interesting from our perspective how little attention most people pay to their 401k with their employer. But when it comes to their account, you know, their individual retirement account, their IRA, they pay a lot more attention to that. And yes, you may have set it up with your employer years ago, decades ago, but you need to revisit your risk, your investment objective, your asset allocation at least annually.
Oh, you have to. You just have to. Now, I want to remind you, if you have a question or a comment, please either text us or call us at 437-1620. If you want to sit down and talk to us about investments or you want to open an account, call my office, 437-3127, and set up a time to come in and talk to Bob and I, and we'll get you on the right path. If you just want an assessment to figure out, gee, how much risk am I really taking? Well, we can do that for you and show you why some things need to be changed, need to be massaged, and why you may need to open that IRA that you haven't yet done. So think about those things. Now, the other thing we'll cover quickly, since we kind of got off on the IRAs, is how can you protect that IRA? And what is one of the biggest detriments to spending down an IRA quickly? Any idea?
The biggest detriments to spending down, spending quickly are the tax implications.
Well, taxes, everything, but go a little bit further. Go further. Go further than tax.
Okay.
What digs in even deeper than a tax bill will if all of a sudden you got to start using that IRA? It's long-term care.
It's going to run out.
It's going to run out. And you're going to have to take out huge sums of that money to pay for long-term care, which gives you what? A bigger tax bill. So you're paying the bigger tax bill, you're paying for health care costs. What happens to that account? It depletes, goes away, okay? So if you're still healthy and you want to do something to help you protect a lot of that IRA money, think about two things. Either purchasing a long-term care policy that is hooked to a life policy that if you don't use that money, it passes on to the heir tax-free, two of my favorite words, okay? The premiums will be tax-deductible because it's under most circumstances because it applies toward a health care deduction. Or if you're not healthy and you don't really want to tie it up in a full long-term care policy, some of the annuities we have out there have what? They've got a rider. And that rider helps to pay for long-term care.
And Annalee, how often do we meet with people and we will, we'll work very closely with them. And then when you sit back and you say, okay, what is the one thing that could come up that just may ruin this plan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's not a new roof. It's not a hurricane. It's not, the air conditioning going out. I need a new mm-hmm. car, things like that. And guess what else? It's not dying, but it is a long-term care need because that is the thing, about the only thing that could really wipe you out.
Yeah, and quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm working right now with a client who is in one of the local facilities, and we started off, she was at $4,000 a month. Well, that has jumped to $8,000 a month, and they just asked for permission to give her additional care, which will probably bring us to about $8,500 a month. And guess what? She is not yet in full assisted living.
Wow.
You see how quick, and that's gone up in less than a year to those amounts. I mean, we're talking about months that this has occurred. So, think about that. If you're pulling $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month out of an IRA, that's a lot of taxes you're going to have to pay.
Exactly.
So,
and
think
we
about
will,
that.
We will. Yeah, and we will sit. We'll sit down with folks. We'll go through the pro formas. We'll see the income that is coming in over their lifetime, and they see, we have Social Security. We've got this coming in. Guess what? Our mortgage is paid off. We have no debt, so we have this $3,500 a month coming in. We're fine. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. Not if a long-term event enters the picture.
Yeah. So, there's more than one way to arrive at a destination. I know when I am in my automobile and I am traveling somewhere, you're going to find me on the interstate because I want to get there quickly. Not that I'm saying I drive real fast, but, I like to get there quickly. Okay. But if I'm in the motorhome and I'm traveling to a place I've never been, you know what I do? I get off on the state highways because I want to see the little cities. I want to see the towns. I want to see the greenery. I'm not so interested in just zooming by things. Am I going to wind up in the same place? Yeah, I will. But if I had stayed on the state highway, I would not have seen, I'll never forget this, one time in Texas, Jenna, you'll appreciate this, one time in Texas, we were going through the state highways, and there were fields upon fields upon fields of sunflowers.
Ooh, yes.
It was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen, and I never paid a penny for it. You know, it's like, how great is that? I mean, yeah, let's see. We got a text that came in. Let's see what that was. Potential uptick in Florida divorces. Yes, I heard this too, and it makes me nervous. Channel 3 reported there's a new alimony reform bill 2021 that they're trying to get passed, and it focused on no permanent alimony and time limits depending upon marriage length. Supposedly they're saying that's going to move both spouses to financial independence. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And this is my concern. The traditional stay-at-home mom who has stopped working to raise her children and maybe now is 50 or 60 and has health issues, very few tech skills, never had a really good paying job because she was always the support person, that they're not going to be retroactive on this. I think that when I heard this, and I'm so glad whoever texted this in reminded us, because when I heard this, like usual, I'm in the midst of getting ready to go out of the door and get dressed and leave. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and was like,
Yeah.
They didn't just say that.
Well,
I mean, if they do this, do you know how far back that's going to put women
in
the
ridiculous.
Whole movement?
Oh, yeah. I have to just interject with it. I was quite perturbed by it because, you know, I put off working for 7 years to raise my children until my youngest was in school full time. And it was a sacrifice. It also comes with a lot of the chatter where people who have never been stay-at-home moms too, they believe you don't work and you sit around all day. It's not the truth.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
But I also thought of a friend who I dearly, dearly love, and he's a male. And when he got divorced, it was just treacherous. And so in order to make it stop and just get her gone, he did sign a paper that pretty much gave her alimony for life, and now she makes six figures and he doesn't make much of anything, and he pretty much sends her a huge chunk of his paycheck each month. So I thought of him and I thought of like my situation in life, and I'm like, isn't there a better way? You know, can't there be some kind of reform in the middle? But you think about the moms who they don't have that, you know, they can't have a nanny, they can't have a full-time babysitter. It's just, I feel like there needs to be maybe some women that rush through there and help put some different layers to this bill.
Yeah. I agree, Jenna. 100%.
Yeah, the assumptions. Assumptions, Jenna and Nina Lee, are just so ridiculous. I mean, first of all, and I know you're the first to say this, I think anybody that stays at home and is a caregiver to their children, especially at a young age, you know, that is probably one of the most noble and honorable things to do, you know, and you're not going to get those years back, and I'm sure you have no regrets, Jenna.
Yeah, absolutely not.
You know, think about this, you know, doing that, you know, I think about my mom who raised all these kids over a, you know, a period of really, you know, because there were so many of us, you know, there's five of us, and the span, that was basically, you know, 25, 30 years of her life, you know?
Right.
And to think that she can go back and learn a trade or skill or get a degree, you know, when the last one was out of the house in her, whatever, in her late 40s, it is ridiculous, right?
Well, and you got to bring this further. Go to the fact, okay, most women are the caretakers. It's always been that way.
Right.
So the woman raises her children. She finally goes back to work. All of a sudden, her parents or her spouse's parents get ill. Who is it that again leaves the workforce? It's usually the woman. So she now again gives up her career. She gives up her quarters for Social Security. And all of a sudden, and we're talking about gray divorce, all of a sudden at age 50, 60, the dude decides, okay, we're going to get a divorce, and you're going to tell me he should not pay her alimony? Something with this just isn't right. Another question just came in. At what age should a healthy adult buy long-term care insurance? Okay, I'm going to repeat that. At what age should a young adult buy long-term care insurance? Yesterday. Being reasonable. Probably when you're looking towards your 40s, there's been a lot of controversy of this over the years. For a long time, there was a TV host that would get on and say, don't look at it till you're 70. That is the worst advice I've ever heard, because two things have happened by then. The rates have gone up tremendously, and you may have lost your health. And long-term care is written on two things, your health and how much you want to pay for a premium. So the sooner you can get a policy, pay it off in a 10-year, 20-year period so that the premiums never go up. You've got protection. You've built an inflationary protection in that thing. The less money you're going to pay, and the better off you're going to be in the long term. What I'm going to caution you against is getting the old-time policies that we call pay-as-you-go that are very cheap when you're young. But as you get older, that premium starts going up. Again, talk to someone like Joan about an asset base that you can pay off in 15, 20 years. So by the time your working years are over, you never have another payment on that thing, and your benefits are set in stone. See, I think people wait too late, too often. Bob and I are working with a couple of clients right now. They want to get long-term care coverage. We can get it on him. We can't get it on her because she's got medical problems that have developed over the years. Can't get it. They want it. They got the money, but she cannot get coverage. So healthy, have the money to pay for it. Great time. That's a good question to call Joan, talk to Joan about, see where you are, what you've got, and go through those angles, because it's just something you don't want to put off. You really don't want to put it off. Too much happens too soon in life. Young people, you get in a car accident, you're hurt very badly, you're paralyzed, you need long-term care the rest of your life. That's a scary thing, but it happens.
Exactly. And we know a lot of young people, they'll have a mortgage, they want it paid off with life insurance proceeds, mm-hmm. or they have, some sort of debt that they want to cover. Well, in all honesty, we don't see a lot of 20-year-olds coming in for long-term care policies. I think one day we will, but we don't. And as Annalee said, the younger, the better. You can command much lower premiums. And of course, it's not only being young, but being healthy. Mm-hmm. So you need those two things.
You got to have them both, and you got to have an asset to protect. So if you come in and say, all I've got is $1,000 savings account because of compliance issues, the long-term care policy people will not write a policy because there's no asset there to protect. But if you've gotten to a stage where you've built us some asset and you want to protect things, it is good to look at. So there's not a set number I can give you. It's like everything. There are so many variables you got to look at. And you may come in and say, I want to get this now. And I may say to you, better if you get it 5 years from now. But the younger you can start it, heaven, the less expensive, much less expensive. Please go out, say thank you, hold a door for somebody, smile at people. Let's all do what we can to make it a wonderful, wonderful world. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.